Welcome to the podcast where we talk rock. I'm your host, GMH, and you are listening to the 10th episode of Talkin' Rock with GMH.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.
All right. I can't believe it's been 10 episodes. Thank you guys so much for streaming the podcast, downloading them, and listening to them. It's really been fun making these, and yeah, so the song of the week, is Dirty Weapons today by the Killer Doors. Great song. In my opinion, the Killer Doors are a super underrated band. They have great songs, you know, they definitely have, an 80s metal sound, but it's also, they're also a very original sounding band, but I recommend you go check them out. They're a super underrated band, but they have lots of amazing music. They're actually a Canadian band. Yeah, they're a Canadian band, and they're literally like a mix of, you know, rock, pop. They consider themselves to be a mix of pop meets metal meets arena rock. They're a very fun band to listen to, and they have great music, so I recommend you go listen to their band and listen to the song of the week, Dirty Weapons. So yeah. Okay guys, so today on the podcast our special guests are JD and Kara from the group The Small Glories. How are you guys today?
We're good.
Fantastic. Thanks, Gregory.
So first off, how long have you guys been together for, your band?
What is it, JD? Over 5 years now?
I think it's hovering about 5 years, yeah, give or take, years. Maybe. Something like that.
Yeah, and when did you guys start playing music yourselves?
When we were wee little children. No.
Actually, it's kind of true.
Actually, yeah, it is kind of true. I've been singing and playing music for my whole life, really. We sang in church, and I learned how to play piano and hated it. And then in school, I became a trombone player and played trombone for many years. So yeah, when we were kids, when I was a kid, yeah. Kara was a kid, obviously.
I was a kid once, and I, very similar to JD, I grew up going to church and singing, and my parents were also very musical, and I remember playing like with dulcimers and auto harps when I was like 3 years old, so really young, you know, just playing. That was just what we did. We just played music, and I remember getting a guitar for my 11th birthday, and that was kind of welcome to womanhood. You get a guitar, and then carried on. Yes. Before that, it was just ukulele.
that was welcome to manhood. Here's a ukulele.
So yeah, we've both been playing music for a long time.
And how did you guys start playing together? Were you friends, or did you just start jamming after knowing each other from being musical?
Well, we kind of, JD, did we, we often talk about this. We didn't know each other extremely well. We knew who the other person was, and it was actually a show in Winnipeg, I want to say seven, eight years ago. They were having an anniversary show at the West End Cultural Center, and they were partnering people up who don't normally play together, essentially. And so JD and I don't know if it was just random or if they actually had a plan, like, oh, these guys would sound good together.
I'm not sure what sounds better either, if there was some sort of
better story,
master plan, or if it was totally random. Who knows? But it happened, regardless of whatever that was, it happened, and here we are.
Yeah, it worked really well.
And what are some of the most interesting or coolest experiences that you've had as a group?
Oh, well, we've kind of been all over the world. Well, I don't want to say the world, but big chunks of the world.
Yeah, we've been to Australia. We went to Tasmania, and I'd say one of the we've had many neat experiences, I think, where we've been around the world. We've been in very old buildings and we've met very old people. But one time was very cool. We played this beautiful show. This was in Australia, Kara, in Tasmania. And we were in, what was the name of it? We were just down the street from a little town called Penguin.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
What was it called? I can't remember. But it was little villages right on the edge of the ocean. And that was, I guess, what is that? The Bass Strait or something. It was the northern part of Tasmania. If you went north, you would have hit Australia. You would have hit Melbourne or somewhere up there, right? And so after the gig, someone had suggested that we go down to the water, which was just maybe 100 yards, 150 yards away from where we were playing. And we crossed the street together, and it was dark. It was very black out there, not a lot of light, and went down a little ditch and through a little grove of trees, and then we came out onto the beach, and it was pitch black, and there were some other people there, and they said, be quiet, sit down. So we did, and then we started hearing all of these animal noises, and what they were these penguins. They were these little penguins, these tiny penguins. They used to be called fairy penguins, but now they're called tiny penguins, I think. And it was amazing. It was an incredible experience. It was one of those moments where later I was just blown away as to how and where music could take us. It took us all the way to this beautiful little island. We had a wonderful show, met some really nice people, and then we saw this beautiful wonder of nature just come out of the ocean right before us. And then I pretended to be one, and Kara thought I was one. And then it was very funny.
I kept thinking, I was like, oh my God, there's a penguin right next to me. And it was actually JD communicating.
And then I was walking down the beach, and then they all followed me. No.
But it's been interesting because we've gone, you know, to the southern hemisphere, and then the flip side is the 8 months later we were in Nunavut, which was on Baffin Island, which was really cool. And then 6 months after that we were in the Yukon and walking on, was it the world's largest non-polar ice field, like the
Kluane ice field
thing? Like it was just it's been interesting, like JD said, the places that music has taken us, that there are opportunities that of meeting interesting people and seeing these places that I don't know if we'd actually get a chance to see if we were just.
Well, I don't know if we would even go. We went to a little island off the coast of Germany.
Oh yeah, Pellworm Island.
We went to this little island called Pellworm Island, and we took a ferry out to there, and nobody spoke English, and it was hilarious. We had a wonderful time, but I don't know why I would go there otherwise. I mean, maybe to see the birds. There's beautiful birds there, but it was just far out. It was off the beaten track,
right?
Of normal traveling, I would say. No, I don't.
Yeah. Know. Well, I mean, that's really cool, and the way that sort of your band or your group was able to bring you there through music and just playing music. So your songs, really tell stories, and, I feel that I can definitely relate to, your song Winnipeg for sure, being a Winnipegger. What is your songwriting process like?
I think we don't have one process. We each write individually, and we've written together, and we've co-written with other people. Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on the situation, perhaps. Like when we're in doing co-writing sessions, sometimes we're given a theme and then we have to go write on the theme. And some people write, you know, they write music and melody first, and some people write lyrics first. And JD, you should talk about when you were writing with James. We both wrote with our friend James Keelahan, and he writes quite a bit differently than you or I, JD. Would you say, like, with his, with his meter, like
in reference to his lyrics, the way he
has
his lyrics, and then his my experience was he had these chords, this little chord progression. We ran on the chord progression, and then we talked about what we thought we should write about. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of riffed a little bit. We came up with this melody, and then from there it sort of moved to a mathematical thing, or a bit more numbers. So we took the meter of the first line, and then of the first verse, and we would try to like replicate that.
Which is
second verse.
It's kind of a foreign concept for us, like in terms of sitting there and counting stuff. Like, I think we're a little bit more. We're a little bit more intuitive, like.
Yeah, and if you go back and like the song that I did with James, you can. I mean, I know who wrote which verse.
Which
he
verse?
Did the first verse, and I did the second verse.
Right. And you can tell.
And you can tell because he stuck to his meter, where I became, it was more jazz. Like there was meter there, but there was more, I sort of jumped out of that box to sort of fit in an idea or fit in a line.
Yeah.
So I don't know. In that example, there was two different ways of doing it.
We don't always, and they're positive. So, you know, one way is not better than the other. And one thing that JD and I have really noticed is working with a really good producer or a song editor, somebody who can come alongside us, who is maybe not as emotionally attached to the song and can kind of see it through a different filter and help us. The expression that we often use in our group is serving the song. Right. So if we need to slow the song down, or if we need to throw in a different chord progression, or we need to add some words or take some words out or say something differently. And I think that's really just helped us become stronger songwriters, regardless of the process of the actual writing itself. You can write a song in so many different ways. And then how do you know when the song is ready?
Right. And for you guys, do you have any advice for beginner or new musicians?
Well, don't do it for the money.
Don't. Yeah. I would say also practice and practice and practice and practice, and make sure when you get on that stage that you have practiced and you know the song. Try not to make sure you know your material before you get on stage and perform. That would be my advice for a musician on stage. Practice and then know your stuff.
Know your stuff.
Otherwise, don't go on stage.
Yeah.
And I would take that and add, think about why you want to play music, and know that the reason that you're playing music, you don't have to have one reason. There could be multiple reasons. It could be that you need to do it for your own enjoyment, and regardless of whether you play those songs for other people, it's almost irrelevant. Or are you doing it to share with other people, in which case the practice comes in really handy. Plus, it also makes you feel better if you actually know what you're doing. But, you know, music is so multi-layered, and it affects us on such an emotional and mental, spiritual level. I think it's really good to play music, regardless of what you're going to do with it. But I think it is important to also ask yourself, why am I playing music? Why do I want to write a song? Is it for self-healing? Is it for, you know, maybe a family member is going through a really difficult time and you want to support them? And so maybe singing for them is one way. And that's one thing that JD and I have really noticed when we sing and perform for other people. It's not really, yes, it's a performance and yes, it's entertainment, but it also goes beyond that. It goes into offering some solace and offering some hope and offering, I don't know, some encouragement to people, which I think is really, you know, that's the gift of music.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how music is able to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have two albums out, right?
We have two full-length albums and two EPs. Yeah.
So what's your recording process like?
Like in the studio?
Yeah, do you go to a studio or do you record it yourself?
No, JD and I are not. Although I think this whole pandemic is, you know, we are upping our game a little bit. We're learning. But you know, there's a reason why I think studios exist, is that it's you use the people who have the spaces and have the skill set that we don't necessarily have access to.
Right.
We always hire, we have been hiring a producer. We have produced some stuff ourselves, our EPs we've produced ourselves. But we really like working with, bringing in somebody, to help us along the journey. Mm-hmm. And we usually, you know, there's a couple of things that we, that JD and I do, in the studio, and one of them is we try to sing all of our vocals together, because we notice that if we sing separately, the way that we've arranged the songs and the way that we perform the songs, we're always singing at the same time, or even if one person's singing one line, we're there with each other. And so when you were to go, if you were to go into the studio and you're not doing everything live off the floor and you're adding vocals on top of your bed tracks, mm-hmm. we noticed it was quite a change if I was to sing my part or JD was to sing his part, and then the other person would have to throw their part over top of it. It was very different. And so one of us will be in one room and the other will be in another room, and we'll usually be able to see each other through glass, or even if we're in the same room, we're, you know, we're far enough away from each other, but we can see each other. And especially when we first started singing together, it was really important to get the breathing and the phrasing. And that's, I think that's one thing that really helps us capture what we do live. If you know, the recorded product is a different art form than the live performance, but how do you capture what you do live? Part of that in the recording is, for us at least, playing, if we can play our instruments at the same time, but particularly if we can sing our vocals at the same time.
Right. And not necessarily as a group, but just in general, what is your favorite song to play?
Oh. That's hard.
I don't know. I don't know. They're all really fun to play, Gregory. They each have their own story, and they each have their own feel, and I think when you figure out where they are in the set, and then over time, over your shows, you play them in these particular sets. You kind of look forward to them. The opening song, the last song of the first set, the first song of the first set, or the second set. You know, there are all these little moments in time. I do like a lot of them.
And there's different feel. I feel like each song brings up a slightly different feeling, right? Like,
sure.
You know, when we sing a song with, I don't know, what starts a cappella, or something that starts with just banjo, or something that starts with just guitar, you know, they all have a little different, I don't know. It's very cool to be able to enjoy the music that you play for myriad reasons, right?
But I guess if I had to pick one, I really like playing Way Over Yonder in the minor key. I think it's fun. It's this open tuning, and it's big and strummy, and we get to really belt out our verses, and Kara does a dance, and I get to do this great vocal part when she's dancing, and so I like that one. I think that one is fun, and every time we do, or often when we do it, people will get up and dance with us, and that is really fun to do. I think some of the best songs are songs that actually invoke dancing in people. They just get so into it, and they're just so ready for it, and it's just right in the moment, and they just feel the need to get up and dance with it. I love how songs can really touch people like that. And that song in particular is one that often gets people moving. So if I had to choose one, I would choose Way Over Yonder in the minor key. That's an old Woody Guthrie tune, and that a guy named Billy Bragg put some music to way back, and then Kara and I had put our own arrangement on it. It's our own version of those artists.
Where can people find out more about your music and your group?
We usually like to tell people to go to our website, because that's, you know, easy peasy, thesmallglories.com. But we're getting pretty, you know, on the ball with the Facebook and the Instagram.
We still haven't quite gotten into TikTok yet. Are you a TikToker? Gregory? Is your audience TikTok audience?
Yeah, that seems to be more your generation, Gregory.
Well,
it's okay.
Well, I also play music, and I decided that a little while. I decided like last week. I'm like, I need to start putting like 15 second clips of me singing on TikTok, because if that's where people are gonna watch it, then I might as well. But
I hear you.
I'm not necessarily like, I won't go and sit and watch TikTok personally.
Interesting.
I'll post stuff there occasionally, but like, for example, my sister will go and watch it for hours, but I will just, I don't find anything really interesting about it. But if people are watching there, then I'll post stuff on there. But
there needs to be like a folk talk.
Oh, JD, let's start it. That's how we're going to survive. We're going to start a new.
It'll just be like TikTok, but it'll just be musicians, folk musicians.
Folk musicians. It's such a folk good talk. Small pool.
Right? It'll be great.
I love it. Folk talk, JD. Folk talk.
Folk talk.
FT, folk talk.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was really fun being able to ask you guys some questions. Make sure to go listen to their music, and I guess follow them on social media and check out their website. And thank you guys once again so much.
Thank you, Gregory. Can I ask you how you heard about us?
Yeah. So I follow the Village Idiots on
awesome
on social media, I guess. And I don't have Facebook, so I like to go and watch their old stuff on YouTube.
Oh, right, yeah.
So one morning I was just scrolling through their stuff, and I like to discover new Winnipeg specifically bands through there. And then I saw the Small Glories Winnipeg Live, and then I watched the 8-minute video or whatever of Winnipeg, and just of your song Winnipeg, and just being able to hear like the story at the beginning, and then hearing you playing it, I thought that it was a really neat song. And I'm not necessarily, I'm very into rock music and stuff like that, but I heard your music and I loved it. So I decided I need to get these guys on the podcast.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
That's a great story. Thank you, Gregory.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. I love your guys' music. So yeah.
Awesome. Lovely to meet you here.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the 10th episode of the podcast where we talk rock, talking rock with GMH. Thank you to Kara and JD from the Small Glories. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Let's talk. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.